Hello, I'm Eddie Merckx. Welcome to the VeloCast.
Welcome once again to another edition of the VeloCast. My name is Scott.
And I'm John, and I think I live beside this microphone now.
Yeah, it's kind of getting that way, isn't it?
It's good.
Normal service, we'll all be kind of pleased to hear, has been officially resumed with the traditional day-long breakaway giving way to a sprint finish, which this time was in the beautiful northern city of Rams.
It's one of those really difficult cities to pronounce, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm never quite sure how to pronounce it. I love it. I mean, we've been there two or three times, and it's one of my favourite cities in northern France.
It is beautiful. Lovely big cathedral.
I tweeted earlier about how I was really quite depressed we weren't there. But you've had a really good theory for a long time about sprint stages, which is that they should just keep them up the night before and so that they're tired and make them ride 30k.
Yeah, well, that was certainly a theory that could have held true today because, I mean, other than the breakaway, and this kind of goes back into my thing about race radios as well, you just knew that breakaway wasn't going to succeed and the peloton was going to hold them back in. So nothing really was achieved other than, and I know it's a significant, important point, nothing was really achieved other than sponsors' messages being flashed on the TV for a few hours this afternoon.
Which, let's be blunt, is what the race is for.
It's what riders are for. I mean, and they know that themselves, so I don't want to take anything away from that. But I do appreciate that from a sporting point of view and the spectacle of a race,
I think it was. The only thing that enlivened it for me, I watched a wee bit of it, but I was on the back shift, so I missed the end again. Which isn't actually very promising for podcasting. <It's not. laughs> But it was that Eben Miles was in it. And for a brief moment, I thought that Eben Miles had made a comeback,
yes,
and was in a breakaway.
I had to look twice as well.
But, I've got a pathological fear of anything to do with the Foot-On Cervelo team because of their strip. So that's why I'd missed his name.
Even my 8-year-old son, who has been watching a wee bit of the tour, because it's the summer holidays now for the schools here, so he's been watching bits and pieces of it in the afternoon. And even he pointed out, "Dad, that jersey's horrible. They look like they're naked."
Unlike it's got to be said, the VeloCast jerseys, which have started appearing in the wild, which are gorgeous.
We're biased, of course, but they are.
Seriously, they're gorgeous. I'm going to tweet. We should get a gallery up for people who've bought them so that we can get pictures of strange people in strange places wearing our kit.
That's a fantastic idea, and if people want to send us those, I'll be happy to put them on the website. Anyway, let's get back to today's stage. As I say, the break never came to anything in the end, and it was somewhat of a foregone conclusion that the peloton would catch them. And in the ensuing sprint in the last kilometre or so, it was Italy's Alessandro Petacchi from Lampre who took his second stage at this year's Tour de France.
Well, I said, when he won the stage after the crash, that there were going to be people who said he'd won because, by default, because the big guys weren't there. But we said at the time that it was still a hell of a kick. He'd still gone really, really fast. And today, the years rolled back. He made the young'uns look daft.
He certainly did. Julian Dean from Garmin came in second, while Edvald Boasenhagen from Team Sky was third. But I think really the kind of main talking point, certainly for me, of the day, was the fact that Cavendish was really nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, well, Dean did really well because he was hurt in a crash the other day. So chapeau to him. Cav, it's far too early to say he's lost it. He's been sketchy all year. This is the kind of stage that you could more or less say was designed for him. And, he wasn't in it. But I wouldn't put it past him to surprise us in the next few sprinter stages that we see. Because you don't get that slow all of a sudden. When we were talking before the show, you said your big worry was actually the attitude that made him sit up.
Yeah, it was the case that as soon as the breakaway was brought back, HTC stamped their authority on the front of the peloton. And as you say, John, the stage was absolutely set up perfectly for Mark Cavendish. And Mark Renshaw was there, as he always is, leading Cavendish to the finish, and as he pulled off, it wasn't Cav that came through, it was Pataki. And right. You saw from that kind of traditional head-on shot that you get in the finish line, Cav just sat up. And as you said, my concern with Cav is that it was the attitude. It wasn't the attitude of somebody who wants to win a green jersey. But he saw that he couldn't win the stage. But I felt that, you know, the thing that makes you win a green jersey isn't winning every stage, it's winning as many points as you can.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, my first thought was, well, he knew he was beaten, so why would he make the effort? But then, you know, you brought that up, and you're absolutely right. If he's serious about the green, a point here or there, I mean, we've seen it last year, it can turn the whole thing. So it shows that his head's not around the green jersey yet.
Mm. I mean, I've got to ask the question, but I think you've already kind of answered it. Do you think he's going to pull out?
No, I don't. Not yet.
Okay. Matt Rindell, your lover, tweeted that...
in a West Country kind of way. Oh, lover.
Oh, lover. He tweeted that apparently Cav threw his helmet right across the team bus after the stage. And I certainly haven't seen any interviews with Mark on any websites yet to let us know his feelings about how the stage went or his state of mind at the minute.
Well, the thing is, he must be acutely aware of what people are saying about him. And, you know, he's a winner. By nature, he's a winner. So he's going to be gutted when he doesn't win. And he said quite clearly before, a lot of the bad stuff that I say is because I get so het up that, you know, if somebody gets me immediately after the stage, I'm so high in adrenaline that I just say the first thing that comes into my mouth. So, to a certain extent, I'm actually quite glad he disappeared without opening his gob this time. Let's not overanalyze Cav. Let's celebrate the fact that Pataki's he's turned the clock back 6 or 7 years, and on a lovely, lovely Willier and beautiful bike, and he's done the business.
So what I've been covered.
Did you see Horushov's green bike as well?
Yes, yes.
Oh, what not?
On Torhushov, he said today that he was too early in the front of the sprint. He said he was on the wheel of Mark Cavendish, but it was Pataki started a long sprint and he had to start his sprint again. So, quite frankly, chapeau, he was faster than me today. And I think really the green Cav aside and the problems that he may or may not be having, the green jersey competition seems to be absolutely wide open this year.
Yeah. And I still think Hushov's going to win it. You know, he's burning for a fight. And I think he wants to show that he can win it fair and square. Because some of the things that Cav said and continues to say, I mean, he did that interview that Matt and Ned had in the Rio Peloton twice, I want to point out. he said, you know, some people don't want to win in a fair way. I always want to win fair and square because I've got ethics and stuff, which was clearly a reference to, you know, the likes of Hushov last year.
Yeah.
So I think Thor wants to rub his face in it. Because all of these sprinters have egos the size of planets, you know. I still can't see past them unless Pataki climbs like an angel.
Well, let's go back to yesterday's stage for a moment and comments we made regarding Alexander Vinokourov popping his leader Alberto Contador out of the back of the group in his push to the finish line.
Yeah, along with Jonathan Vochters, we got it wrong. And not due to kind of miscounting, as I was slightly sarky about yesterday. I apologise, I was in a grumpy mood, I'd had a long day. More because, in essence, as did Vochters, and I think you as well, thought that it was a mechanical in the last 3K. Because every time I've seen the rule applied, it's been a big crash. And I just didn't look into the rule properly. Of course, it's just if you crash. It's not something like a puncture. So Bert was actually gapped a wee bit, which is why he was so bloody cross on the line.
Mm.
And it shows that we actually exaggerated Vino's intelligence a wee bit as well.
Well, I was just about to ask that.
It's a first for me.
Are we just essentially coming to the conclusion that Vino was being a knob yesterday?
Well, I think that's exactly it. I mean, I had all sorts of conspiracy theories in my head. They said to Bert, well, just to rub the ASO's face in it, because, you know, they took Alexander off the last time. We want him to win the Tour, and we'll give you £50 million if you let him and support him.
No, his conspiracy theories go, that's a fair bit of a stretch.
Well, no, and then I was going to, you know, Bert says no, so they say, well, we have your mother and family, and all that kind of stuff. Actually, the way Bert performed in those cobbles yesterday, I'm finding it hard to see past him for the overall. No, I don't think there's any competition.
Well, he said he was happy yesterday with how the day went. He says it was a shame.
No shit.
Yeah, it was a shame that this spoke was broken, as it made me lose a bit of time in the end. But I think I would have lost more time if I had changed bikes, so I decided just to finish the stage like that, even if the wheel braked a bit.
Braked a bit. It did break a bit. Yeah, and Vino, unless his earpiece was out, must have known that Bert was off the back. So all sorts of questions are being asked now, which I think will get answered when we hit the mountains, as will much else.
Yes, quietly. So you were wanting to talk about a comment that Alberto Contador made about Armstrong in the wake of yesterday's stage.
Did you see that picture, actually?
I did see the picture. I actually meant to bring it up yesterday. If anyone hasn't seen it, I don't know where we'll find it, right enough. There's a picture of Contador and Armstrong together on yesterday's stage. And, I mean, it could just be one of those, you know, the camera shutter goes and you've blinked in the photo type things. But it looked for all the world like Lance was up, standing up, off his saddle, on his pedals, glaring at Contador, who was just steadfastly staring ahead of him and not wanting to look. So it looked like they were about, like Lance was about to just chin him one.
It looked like Lance was having a fair and frank, or a full and frank discussion with him. I'd love to see some footage of that and see if it actually was a discussion as opposed to just an unfortunate moment of picture. Yeah. You know, that thing where you blink when somebody's taking your picture.
Yeah. The comment, though, that Contador made regarding Lance after the stage.
Well, in essence, what he said, not in essence, almost exactly, was, I'm not worried about Lance now. His only chance of gain time was the cobbles, and he didn't. Up you, Lance.
I don't think he said that last bit, but certainly that was the tenet
of his... the Spanish equivalent, I think.
The tenet of his argument. Is he right?
Yeah. I've got Lance in my fantasy team, and he's probably my only hope now. Although, kudos to Farrar and also to Hessink to actually carrying on over the cobbles. I mean, that must have been brutal for those guys after being injured. I still think Lance has got something up his sleeve, or, you know, in his fridge or whatever. So I'm not willing to write him off yet, but Bert on those cobbles.
Do you realise how litigious Lance Armstrong is? You really want to watch what you're saying here?
Hey, energy drink, dude.
Oh, I see, of course.
You know, you've got to keep it cool in the fridge.
Of course. Silly.
You know, he's got next generation energy drink, that's what I'm talking about. Did you see that Interpol are now involved in the Landis stuff?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that yet, but I'm sure we'll talk about that when it comes to the next full...
In the main show, it's trickling along. But I still think Lance has got something up his sleeve, but Bert just looked... It's a word where we said he hadn't looked yet this year, imperious, and he's starting to look that way, which must, you know, put the willies up all the other GC guys.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk, just before we wrap up today, about the fact that Laurent Fignon is commentating on this year's tour for French television. Of course, this follows the two-time winner of the tour being diagnosed with cancer last year.
Chapeau. And I mean, big chapeau. I've just got his book. He doesn't pull any punches in it. I've not finished it yet. I'll pass it over to you because I rather sadistically bought you the French version when I was in France last year.
Well, as I said to you before we're recording, I have started it, but my French is so rusty that it was torturous. So I apologise, I haven't got all the way through it yet.
Well, Fignon was the devil of the piece for me because I was such a big Greg LeMond fan. And in fact, we've had many discussions about that.
Full and frank, indeed.
But involving bad words occasionally. But, you know, his love of cycling is something that, with all the other worries that he's dealing with, it still shines through. And he takes the trouble to get to the tour when he could just be lying back recovering. So... genuinely chapeau, Laurent.
Yeah, apparently he's got a deal with his employer, as he calls him. He says, when I'm too tired and I can't commentate, Laurent Jalabert comes to the studio at the finish line to take my spot. Because he commented on the prologue, but wasn't at the tour on Sunday. And of course, rumours started that he was just unable to continue commentating. Mm-hmm. But he says that I'll be back in the Alps. I'm going home for 3 days and I'll be at the tour again for all the Pyrenean stages. I try to avoid travelling by car as it makes me very tired. So I just wanted to mention this, as I think it's absolutely fantastic to see him around the tour again. And of course, we wish him all the best with his ongoing treatment.
I tell you, all joking aside, he's a huge hero of yours. That must bring a tear to your
eye. Oh, I'm very emotional these days. I think I'm getting old. And yeah, absolutely, it does.
I'm just to cheer everybody up. Somebody sent me a link to a video, which is it's only about 3 or 4 minutes long of highlights from yesterday's stage, which is cut together with no commentary, but with Baba O'Reilly by the
Who, yeah,
is its soundtrack. It's fantastic.
Oh, I want to see that.
So I'll we don't do show notes for these, but I'll pop a link on the website somewhere so that you can get a look at it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that's cool. Definitely do that. I think we should probably talk about the Gazzetta della Velocast Fantasy Mini League.
I tell you, Simon Lamb's been in fantastic form today because, you know, as most people know, the league was actually his idea first and we more or less piggybacked onto it because I did his Giro one and had such a great time. But it's kind of developed a mind of its own. New people are joining every day, which, you know, if you've already picked a team in Velo Games, you can join our league even though the tour's underway. And after, you know, the amazing prize that Sean Lally offered from Cycle Systems yesterday, we've had more offers of prizes coming in. Shut, Velo Rapide, who make our jerseys, are doing us a goodie bag. Jeff Helfand of Velo Reviews is ponying up with a prize. There's been loads of folks saying they're wanting to get involved and give us prizes. So get in the league, see how you do, because it's going to be better than Scott and I. I haven't looked at it today, but I mean...
No, that's because, I'm frankly too embarrassed to look at it. And quite frankly, you're talking about being emotional earlier on. I mean, the fact that people are offering prizes is genuinely bringing a tear to my eye.
We've got a shout at the Lantern Rouge prize.
Yeah. Well, that's something to aim for, if nothing else.
Oh, and one last bit of news, actually, just to end on a cheery note. Who do you think's the latest person to throw their hat in the ring to host a grand depart for the tour in the next few years?
Oh, well, I mean, if this is winding me up over parts of three-week grand tours that don't start in countries, I'm going to say, I don't know, Iceland?
Scotland. Seriously, David Miller is an ambassador. Scotland are tendering for the grand depart.
Oh, I see, I really, really want to eat.
You're torn now, aren't you?
I'm immensely torn, and I want to eat my words.
See, that's why I didn't tell you about that news before the show, because I knew you were going to go, oh, bugger, I bet you it's outside. I'm really, really cross. But no, Scotland are tendering.
Damn. That's all I'm going to say. Damn. And on that bombshell, I think that's probably all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening and staying subscribed. You can contact us by visiting our website at velocast.co.uk, where you can also find out how you can donate or subscribe to the show. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a comment or review in iTunes, as this really helps with other people discovering it. Well, we hope you can join us again tomorrow following the stage from Epernay to Montagy for another edition of the Velocast.